The following paid program does not represent the views of North Shore 104.9.
Welcome to Caring Voice, a Sunday morning program brought to you each week by Aberdeen Home Care of Danvers, bringing valuable strategies to caring for the loved senior in your life. Now, here's your host, registered nurse, founder, and president of Aberdeen Home Care, Joanne McInnes.
Oh, good morning, friends and listeners. It's so nice to be with you on this Sunday morning. You know, we are inching toward a new season. Can you feel it? You know, in the Celtic tradition, they say that the seed has turned in the earth. And so it is, and it won't be too long now. And boy, are we in need of it. If we were ever in need of a glorious spring, it is 2021. Yeah. So with that in mind, and talking about change and the seasons changing, I want to talk about changing lanes today. You know, we're all barreling down the highway of life, and we're avoiding the speed traps and the potholes and the broken down vehicles in the breakdown lane. But we're traveling on that highway, and sometimes we need to change lanes. And that's difficult. Sometimes it's exciting. Sometimes it's unnerving. Sometimes it's to avoid danger. So whatever the situation is, we're changing lanes, and there's discomfort that comes with that. So let's dive into not the easy part, but the hard part. And to help me do that, of course, I have my helpmate, Mr. Bob Staines, joining us today. Bob is the founder and principal of Bob Staines Conflict Transformation. You'll hear more about him and his work later on in the program. But welcome to my dear friend, Bob, and thank you for joining me for this exciting topic.
Awesome. Thanks for having me back. It's always a privilege and a lot of fun to be on the show with you.
Oh, thank you so much. So if we take some mundane examples about changing lanes, you know, things that are easy to warm up to, we think of, you know, when we're raising children and they go off to school, or they go down the hill in the sled for the first time, or if you're a skier, they go down the mountain on the first time, and you're changing lanes from protecting them to kind of letting them go. How difficult that is for us. And then you move along through the years and they get their driver's license and you stand in the doorway and you watch them drive off in the car, you know, and you're catching your breath. That's changing lanes. And then they go off to college and you have to change lanes again. So when we're dealing with our elder relatives and loved ones and people that we have responsibility for, sometimes we're changing lanes with them. They're changing lanes a lot. And we're having to change lanes with them. So I want to dig into that a little bit today and talking about our role as the caregivers and what it must be like to be them, the elder that is having to probably relinquish things in their life. And that's a time of life where you're not getting more independent and not gaining new skills and not able to go out on your own further. It's quite the opposite. And it's painful and difficult, but it's part of life. And my experience, and I bet yours is too, Bob, and you can speak to this probably better than I can, that embracing change is really the only good option. Sometimes we rail against it, we fight with it, and maybe there are times when that's appropriate, but coming to a place of acceptance is a place where peace can live, and I know that from my own life.
Mm. Yeah, amen to that. Mm. Yeah, I think, whenever... Not whenever, but when we're confronted with change that's significant in our lives, it's stressful for most of us. And there's been a lot of research over the years about what they call approach and avoidance, that when we're confronted with a stress like this, we have both feelings of we want to get it done, we want to approach it, we want to embrace it, and we also want to avoid it and get away from it. And that can lead to stepping on the gas, so to stay with your metaphor, stepping on the gas and just zooming ahead and going too fast. It can lead to slamming on the brakes and doing nothing. And I think what we want to do is maybe pull over to the side of the road for a bit and take stock. And what you're saying about embracing change involves spending some time figuring out what that change is and how you want to relate to it.
I don't know if I could be bold enough to say embrace change. I'm not sure that I've ever been that person, but tolerate it and try to integrate the change. I am somebody that likes things as they are, and changing it up, although professionally people might not see me that way, but I love the constancy and consistency of the known. And when we're dealing with elders, especially if they have a change in cognitive function, or they have a medical problem that affects their level of independence, boy, constancy and consistency is out the window. And we're on a new day and trying to figure out what that's going to mean for everybody's quality of life, and everybody's safety is, of course, you know, the goal. I don't know, listeners, about you, but when I'm talking to Bob Staines, I mean, it doesn't happen every time we have a conversation, thank heavens, or I'd have writer's cramp. Whenever he speaks, I'm taking notes because he has such pearls of wisdom. I'm constantly writing down on the side of my sheet about the show different things that he says, because he's such a wealth of wisdom. I so appreciate that about one of the many, many things I appreciate about Mr. Bob Staines, who's doing a victory dance. He's shoveling. I thought he was doing a victory dance. You can't see him, but I can, but he's shoveling. I'll let you decide what he's shoveling. That will be the final Jeopardy question of the day. So let's take this down to real time. So we've got an elder in our community of our inner community that we're having some responsibility for. And this person has some changes. And even if this doesn't sound like a big deal until you've been in my shoes and you drive up to a home, Bob, picture this. I drive up to the home and the son meets me in the driveway and says, "Thank God you're here." This is the first time I'm meeting this family. And he says, "While you're here today, I'd love it if you could talk to my mother about becoming a do not resuscitate and take her car keys away." That's great fun. I'm already enjoying that visit. That's great. Hey, what
can
else?
I do that again tomorrow?
Doesn't he have any toenails I need to pull off? Or, you know, what else can we do for more enjoyment? Because it's so difficult to cross the boundary and cross the line. I mean, this was a woman who gave him his first car, who took him to driver's ed, who allowed him to get his license, who stood in the doorway and watched him drive off the first time. And now he wants to take her car keys away. And yes, she's had 5 little fender benders, and she drives the wrong way on the streets, and she goes around the rotary the wrong way. And it's totally appropriate. But wow, is this hard?
Yeah. Yeah. It's just so difficult because, you know, you have the change to the person who's involved, right, who's having their car keys taken away, which is obviously going to be very difficult for them. And then you have the shift in, how I view my parent, that I have to really change my whole orientation from, like what you were saying earlier, we get in the mental frame where we want to sort of keep things as they are, and then we're confronted with this change in capacity, and to take those car keys away means that I'm admitting to myself that my parent has significantly changed. And how threatening is that?
And indeed it is. You know, it's so funny about men and women. I mean, women now, the women of today obviously drive and have their cars and all that. But back in the day, men drove. I mean, if a woman drove, the husband was either drunk or, unable to drive. A woman didn't drive a man around. That was, you know, that masculinity equals having the keys to the car. So trying to go into these 80 and 90 year old men and telling them that they can't drive anymore, it's like chopping their legs off. Women are annoyed by it, but boy, I'll tell you, our XY chromosome friends, they are blown out of the water.
So give us some idea about how have you approached that in a successful way with these guys that are feeling like they're going to get their license?
You know, it's so funny with men. You can talk about, you could hurt yourself. They're not impressed with that. You could hurt someone else. They're still bulletproof. They're still men, listeners, right? You know.
Yeah.
Those of you who know them and love them, and those of you who are them, know exactly what I'm talking about. They are bulletproof. I'm not going to hurt anybody. You know, you put the crack pipe down, honey. You are talking out of your nose. So, but the minute you say you could be sued, they could take your house. They could take everything you have. If you run over a 5-year-old, you will be living in a tent, or you will be living at the Pine Street Inn, because they will take everything you have. And that somehow gets their attention. You will be liable for this and your children. And that gets their attention. I know that seems superficial and you think, oh, men are not like that. Well, I've had the conversation a million times about you getting hurt and someone else getting hurt. And that just doesn't cut the mustard because, again, of the bulletproof nature of the male race. But you start talking about that resonates. Oh, really? Oh, okay. Well, I better rethink this. We're probably coming up on our first break soon, and boy, this time goes so quickly. But we want to hit the big points about when home care is necessary or when we need to relocate from the house. We just can't do it here anymore. There's only one bathroom and it's upstairs and you can't do stairs anymore. Or, you know, it might be time to come live with one of the kids, or we're going to start pouring your medications, or I'm going to put my name on your checkbook. All of these things happen. And most of the time, the kids just don't know how to manage it.
We're not really taught how to manage this stuff. It's like it's all one off.
And it's a secret. I mean, if you think back to your parents and your grandparents and how they slid in or didn't, if they're sliding in to try to take over some control and be helpful, it was not discussed. It was all very covert, just like talking about serious illness or anything else. It was not an open dialogue. And to be talking with your elderly parents about how much money do you have in the bank, they don't want you to know that. That's none of your business. Mm-hmm. The boundaries and the definition of relationship is very clearly drawn. And as a parent, I'm a parent, Bob's a parent, we all understand about how those boundaries are with our kids. Do what we always do, listeners, and I encourage you to empty out and fill up. Join us right back here after a very short break for segment two of Caring Voice, because that's where all the heavy hitters is. They're going to be a couple of home runs and a couple of grand slams coming out of this next segment in the program. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Caring Voice on North Shore 104.9.
I'm Bob Staines with Bob Staines Conflict Transformation. I can help you if you have a very difficult decision that you have to make about an elder in your family, navigate the difficulties of family conversations using my skills as a former family therapist and a dialogue facilitator, bringing people together for what I would call a protected space and a constructive conversation, and to be able to listen to one another in a deep way, how best to help mom or dad. To contact me, go to bobstaines.com. That's B-O-B-S-T-A-I-N-S. Or email me, bobstaines@bobstaines.com.
You're listening to Caring Voice, presented by Aberdeen Home Care on North Shore 104.9.
Oh, listeners, welcome back. So great to have you back from the break. I'm Joanne MacGinnis of Aberdeen Home Care in Danvers, and I'm with my dear friend Bob Staines of Bob Staines Conflict Transformation. And we are hitting it right between the eyes today about difficult situations with elder loved ones who need more help. And how do we manage that? Because taking help requires relinquishment of independence in order to receive help. And so, Bob, what do you think about the whole analogy of, rather than a factual approach, a story approach?
Yeah, well, let's go back to what we were talking about at the beginning, that when you're put in a situation where you're challenged, you have this sort of approach avoid response. But in this situation, mostly what's happening is people are feeling defensive. Right? You're going to take something away with me. I'm going to put up my shields and I'm going to defend as much as I can. And we see this in a lot of other aspects of our life too, especially since this election we've just finished. And there's been some very interesting research about how to engage somebody who's in that state, that reciting facts to them just doesn't work. It just doesn't work. But painting pictures and telling stories is a way to help them see in a different way, to change their frame of mind. And if listeners are interested, Kurt Gray is a researcher at the Deepest Beliefs Lab at the University of North Carolina, who's done a lot of research on this and has a lot of tips about engaging people who are in that state of being impervious and defensive. So what you did in your example in talking about getting sued, it wasn't just you can get sued as a topic. You gave examples of, you know, if a child is hit, you painted pictures in the mind of that person. And that's the way that you can really help people to shift the way they're going down that lane and accept that they may have to be in a different lane.
The same principle is so true no matter what it is. I mean, if you're talking about a medical procedure that the family is not completely in agreement about, maybe, you know, mom or dad might need to move in with a child or receive in-home care. You know, it's time for me to pour your meds instead of you doing your meds. It's time for me to go to every doctor's appointment with you because you're just not remembering what they're having to tell you. Whatever it is, it's just so threatening. We're just, you know, sort of evaporating. And for people that have been in control and have had those experiences of being, you know, the keeper of their own castle, it is very threatening. And finding ways for us as the messenger to be less threatening but still effective. You can water down the reality so it seems optional. You can say, because you don't want to hurt someone's feelings, well, Mom, you know, some days your memory isn't as good as others. Yeah, honey, and on the other days it's perfect. And let's not forget who the mother is here.
Mm-hmm. And it's tough on the side of the child or the younger person also to make that shift into being able to, to believe yourself that your parent isn't as sharp as they were.
Right.
And how much resistance we have to that we don't want to go there, because if we go there, that means we have to do something about it.
Sometimes what's helpful with these folks is to say, remember when we had Nana living with us? Do you remember when Nana moved from the big house to the elderly apartment, and then she couldn't do that anymore, and you and Dad decided that she needed to come here and live with us? What was that like for you? Mm-hmm. That must have been really hard. I don't even know if you people talked about that at that particular time, but I can't imagine how hard that was for you.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's really great. Appealing to their experience of a similar thing is terrific.
Because years ago, there wasn't a lot of elderly housing, and there weren't assisted living centers. And what happened with elder relatives is they either had help come in, or someone go in to live with them, or they moved in with a family member, and it was usually children. Mm-hmm. And that's the way it was. We lived in multi-generational communities of sometimes three and four generations. Yes. I think, Bob, your point about meeting resistance, you know, we could talk about the how-tos, and I could give you little catchphrases to, you know, that you could try with all of these different scenarios. That's so monotonous in my way of thinking. But learning what's happening, you know, we always like to say we're peeling the onion. Peel the onion down to where we're meeting the resistance, and we're dealing with our own feelings, too. You know, I hear family members that water it down. They say, oh, I was really good. I was right there in the conversation. I was talking about your best friend, Betty, just had a head-on collision, and she was in the hospital for a month and rehab for 2 months. You don't want that to be you. Well, that's not going to be me, honey, because Betty was never a good driver. she's always one-off. But rather that you think on your own, and Bob, you're going to walk us through this. We're going to do the approach and avoidance. See, these are the notes that I took from you. And we're going to think about where are the points of resistance for ourselves and for the one we're speaking to.
Yeah. Thinking about our resistance as well as what the benefit. And I have maybe a different way to frame this from approach avoidance that, I don't know, it works for me and it's worked for a lot of people that I've talked to over the years. And that is whenever we're confronted with a challenge, embedded within the challenge is a temptation and an invitation. So there's a temptation that we know characteristically for ourselves of how we would go the wrong way with this, what we would be tempted to do that would be not useful. And there's also an invitation, which is often harder to find. You know, what is the invitation here for a closer relationship, for health, for conversation? And if we can hold on to that while realizing where the sort of scary stuff is and what we might be tempted to do to defend against that, it's a lot easier to move forward into what we actually have to do.
As you speak, so many thoughts come into my head. Yeah. When you talk about an opportunity, you know, an invitation or an opportunity, there's an opportunity for a different level of relationship.
Absolutely.
And sometimes it might be possible and sometimes it might not.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, there's a way in which talking about these hard things for many families, for many sort of parent-child relationships, it may be one of the first times that they've had really genuine conversations and honest and heartfelt conversations. And the result of that can be more closeness in the end because it's honest and it's real.
Oh, God, I'm taken back to when my mother was at Herrick House, which is an assisted living right next to a Beverly Hospital. And she was there after she had a problem, a medical problem, and she went to rehab, and then she went to Herrick House. And I told her that Herrick House was another sort of a step down from rehab, and she was going to go home. I knew she couldn't go home because she was having rapid fire cognitive changes. Mm-hmm. And she asked me, she said, am I ever going home? And here I am. This is my line of work, but this is my mother talking to me, and I'm an only child. All of her eggs are in the basket that I am carrying.
Yeah.
And I laughed. I laughed because I was so unprepared for that conversation. Mm-hmm. I felt so awkward. And here I am on Caring Voice trying to tell you how to do it. And I'll tell you, talking about doing it are two entirely different things. And I said, well, we're taking it a week at a time. You know, we're just evaluating it. There are times when I counsel families that complete honesty will not work because the person has so much cognitive impairment, they can't make sense of it. And telling people this is temporary, well, everything is temporary, right? So if we're really looking at, are we telling the truth? Well, half and half, everything is temporary. And so you being here at Herrick House for a couple more weeks and a couple more weeks is not a lie, but the intention was never, she was never gonna be able to leave there. So I understand, I have been in that seat, people, and I understand how brutally difficult that is in the moment to come up with the right thing to say. And that was only 5 years ago, so it's not like that I can't say, oh, my youth prevented me from doing that. It's so much courage. And you're really, when I say you're changing lanes, you're going from like under the speed limit to 90 miles an hour when that has to happen. And boy, it feels like you are in what do they call it in Star Wars and all that, hyperdrive, what do they call that when they went into the super, super fast speed? Hyperdrive, superdrive. Everyone on the radio is screaming, you idiot, it's this. Don't you know anything? Oh, well, have your way. You win, I lose. We're going to take a quick break. So don't change the channel because there's nothing on that's any better than this because of my great guest and friend, Bob Staines. So join us back in 1 minute after a short break.
You're listening to Caring Voice on North Shore 104.9.
I'm Joanne MacInnis, registered nurse, owner and founder of Aberdeen Home Care in Danvers. We have a dynamic team that provides concierge-level home care all across the North Shore and beyond. We are growing and growing, and we need to talk to people who have a commitment and a passion for home care, for health care, and would like to join a very cohesive, dynamic, wonderful team. So if you have an interest in home care and you want to give your very best, we'd love to have a conversation with you. Please visit us at aberdeenathome.com or call us at 978-500-5161. Our job is to bring dignity home to our clients and their families, and it's also to be an employer of choice, and we truly are. So give us a look at aberdeenathome.com, 978-500-5161. We hope to talk to you.
You're listening to Caring Voice, presented by Aberdeen Home Care on North Shore 104.9.
Well, listeners, here we are. We've come to our last segment in today's program, sadly, because there's so much more to say. But this is Joanne MacInnis with Aberdeen Home Care in Danvers, and I'm joined by Bob Staines, who is my wonderful friend and guest and knower of many things. Even in the break in the program, when we're talking, there's so much to get to on how our mindset, where we are ourselves when we're having to present this information to our loved ones. There's a way, I don't know, I guess it's all how we package it, but how we package it is determined by where we are in our own headspace. Bob, help us understand that a little better.
Yeah, well, you know, you were talking earlier about levels of honesty, and I was thinking to myself about the difference between honesty and brutal honesty, and how honesty, you know, can be really either injurious to the person hearing it if there's too much of it, and it's not a match for where the person is, or if it's coming from a place of unresolved pain in the family relationships that have preceded this moment, right?
Yeah.
And so when people feel that rising up, remember earlier I talked about the sort of the temptation, and I think sometimes there is anger that may rise up from old wounds when we have to start making these decisions. And usually when in my business, when I talk to people about managing strong emotions before they come into relationship, I recommend that they do a quick four-step process. And if we stay with the metaphor of being in your lane and pulling over to the side of the road is notice, name, discern, and choose. That is, notice what your feelings are as you're contemplating this conversation or this decision. See if you can give them a name. I'm feeling, you know, angry or sad or whatever. Try to get a sense of where that's coming from in your past and, you know, in your constitution. And then make conscious choice about what you're going to bring to the conversation and what you're going to try to leave behind. So if I know that I'm enraged because of things that happened to me when I was 8, 9, and 10 years old with my parent, I'm going to be aware of that, and I'm going to decide to leave that on the side of the road before we engage.
I don't know how I get through a day without having you as a personal consultant, like every 10 minutes. I don't know how I manage that. Listeners, I hope you took notes, because that four-step process is now written down for me. Notice, name, discern, and choose. I don't know how you get through life without considering that. And I do see that. And I also see that people, you know, adult children taking care of elders, they want to get have the conversation to be done with it. You know, Dad, I talked to your doctor. You have terminal cancer. Wow. Well, that's an awful lot to digest. And there are other ways to have that conversation, but it's very hard. I will encourage you, listeners, if you are in that process, that four-step process of notice, name, discern, and choose, and you notice that you feel so confused and just ill-equipped to have the conversation, ask for help. Do it with somebody else. And talk about it with that other person first. Gee, I've got to have the talk with my father. I've got to tell him about the diagnosis or the keys or the in-home help or moving to my house. Whatever it is, get somebody else to help you. Practice it. How did that sound to you? Did that sound harsh? Did that sound like an ultimatum? Did that sound like I was threatening you? And it's not in everybody's language or family vocabulary to say, I'm saying this to you, Dad, because I love you. I mean, that might knock somebody off their chair. And maybe the word love is too much. Because I'm your son and because I care so deeply about you, there are other ways to package that instead of I'm trying to take the control away from you, even if ultimately that's what has to happen.
And I think it's so hard for most of us, probably, and I know many of us for sure, and for me, so hard to be with your parent when they're in pain. You know, yes. They're the ones that were with you. You know, they're the caregivers, right? It's like for me to sort of have to say that when I had to, you know, my stepmother was going to have to either go to a nursing home or to a long-term care hospital. And to talk to her about that and then to sit with her in her sadness was one of the hardest things I've ever had to do, to just sit there and be present to it and not run away from it and not try to cut it off. It's so difficult that we avoid it, right? We don't want to do it.
Exactly. And sitting there with it, witnessing, I just was reading a very powerful piece about witnessing grief. Mm-hmm. Oh, it was Brené Brown who wrote it. And it just popped up on Facebook about witnessing grief and the difficulty in our culture right now that we can't do that because of COVID. So it is difficult to sit with things. And, you know, I go back to distress tolerance all the time. That's a really hard thing to have, but something worth developing. Wow, I can't believe that 30 minutes have gone by so quickly. We've raised some issues. I hope that, listeners, if we haven't answered your questions, we've at least posed the questions so that you can do some of your own thinking and talking and reading and come to some solutions of your own about how you might handle these situations. As always, you can call me at Aberdeen Home Care, and that's 978-500-5161. We have expert nurse case managers who have been doing this work for a very long time. Collectively, we're probably 400 or 500 years in the business, and we know this. This is our wheelhouse. Call for help. And thank you to Mr. Bob Staines of Bob Staines Conflict Transformation for being my very special friend and guest. I greatly appreciate what you bring every single time you visit with us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's always fun to be with you, and I learn as well from your wisdom.
Join us next Sunday at 7:30 a.m. right here on North Shore 104.9 for another episode of Caring Voice. And in between now and then, how about this? Get your vaccine. Talk to you soon.
To listen back to today's episode or find a previous podcast from Caring Voice, go online to NorthShore1049.com/caring-voice. Tune in again next week for Caring Voice, brought to you by Aberdeen Home Care in Danvers.
Caring Voice airs each and every Sunday morning at 7:30, providing valuable strategies related to caring for the seniors in our lives.
The prior show was a paid program that does not express the views, opinions, or beliefs of North Shore 104.9, the station management, its employees, or staff.